Turn with me in your Psalters, in your Psalms, please, in your Bibles, for our final reading for this tour through the Psalter in Psalms 148, 149, and 150. As we come to the end, and Lord willing, begin Matthew chapter 1 this afternoon. Psalm 148, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruited trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord, sing praise unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. So for these last five psalms in the Psalter, 146 through 150, they are hallelujah psalms. They begin and end with that great Hebrew word, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. These last three really set the crescendo to its highest volume, as you know, turn up the knob, because what we have in these three psalms as they progress, and let's consider them at first all three together. In Psalm 148, the entire creation is called upon to praise the Lord, beginning with the heavens descending to the earth, then to the beasts of the earth, the kings of the earth, the people of the earth, everyone in the earth, and then at the end of the psalm, including God's people. I believe there's a particular reason that that verse is put just at the end and very brief mention of the people of God, because Psalm 148 is really the psalm of all creation praising the Lord. Moving then to Psalm 149, we move to the people of God specifically, introducing them at the end of 148, then to 149, we go forward and we have sing the Lord a new song in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made Him. The children of Zion be joyful in their King. And so we have then some description after that with that kind of commanded worship that we have. If we were to take a look at perhaps some of the Chronicles 15, 16, 28, 29, we would see those very same kinds of things being called into the worship of God. This is, again, according to His commandment, what we have styled the regulative principle of worship, which is really sola scriptura as it applies to worship. And so we see those things. And then note verse 4, the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. All right, we'll talk about the specifics of 5 through 9 in a moment. Then we move on to Psalm 150 as we're covering the theme here. And notice that we have, once again, these same kinds of instruments brought to bear. In other words, it is a commanded worship. But notice also, now it moves not just to the people of God offering these, but how does the Psalter end? The offerings, the praises of God, the commanded worship is now commanded to what? Everything that hath breath. And so if we have Psalm 148 being the creation, most emphatically, and then we have Psalm 149, the redemption, most emphatically. Then in Psalm 150, as we might imagine, we have it eschatologically when everything that hath breath will praise the Lord. And so between those three psalms, that's how they progress to the end, to the high crescendo of the Psalter. All right, with that then, let's go back and pick up a couple of details and then we will close. First of all, notice we begin in Psalm 148. Like we said, we start in the heavens to the angels, the heavenly host, the sun, the moon, the stars, heaven of heavens, the waters above the heavens. I would like to make a comment on that for a moment. It has been said that the Bible is an error. This is one of the errors that modern skeptics find in the Bible. Because many in the ancient Near East thought that because the sky was blue, and the water in the ocean was blue, so then there was a space, a gap of air between the waters above and the waters below. And of course, everyone then mocks the Bible and says, you see, the Bible writers thought there was a sea above the air and a sea below the air. Well, that is not required in these words at all. The waters above the heavens can speak to many different kinds of things. So let's not be so quick. Let's not be like the skeptics, so quick to call the Word of God into account. What is our presupposition? Not that we will find errors in the Bible, right? Our presupposition is what? That God wrote the Scriptures, that they are His Word. And so there's something to be communicated, the waters above the heavens and the waters below. This could speak to the original creation. When the psalmist here then harkens back to the pristine creation that God had created, where there were waters above and waters below. This could be calling in this crescendo, which ends with the end of days, it could be calling the beginning of days. And so it could be a temporal reference, so that we understand that from the beginning of days to the end of days, God is to be praised. And so there are many ways to interpret that, the waters above the heavens, that are not skeptical, in other words. Okay? All right, well, let's move on then. The Lord does speak of the creation immediately following that in verses 5 and 6. So then, notice from that height to the depth, you dragons and you deeps. And by dragon there, the psalmist is intimating the deep-going sea creatures. So from the highest creation in elevation, the beings that were created, the angels, to the lowest, the dragons. From one end of the creation to the other, in other words. And so then those things that occur in the air, fire, hail, snow, vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his words. Then we come to the terra firma, if you will, mountains, hills, fruitful trees, all cedars. And then notice beasts, cattle, creeping things, flying fowl. And then to the people, the kings of the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. So one end of, every station of men, in other words. And then let them praise the name of the Lord, for it alone is excellent. His name alone is excellent. Only his name is worthy to be praised. And then also he exalted the horn of his people. And this is a reason for the praise, especially for his people. And then in verse 14 there we introduce Psalm 149. And in the introduction then of Psalm 149, we move on and we begin with the song of redemption, the new song. Right? New creatures, new heart, new song. All of this goes together. His praise in the congregation of saints, the timbrel and the harp. Of course, those were the instruments commanded by the sweet psalmist of Israel, David himself. And then the Lord taketh pleasure, note, in his people. And he will beautify the meek with salvation. The meek are then styled as his people. They are indeed meek before him. All right, but notice how that meekness works as we move forward in 5 through 9. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Of course, we're talking, this is some figurative language here. This is not, we don't need to come to church in our, with a cot to lay down next to us or anything like this. But this is something that we do. This is something that no matter what our posture is, no matter if we're lying down or rising up, we ought to be giving the Lord his praises. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Well, I don't want to lift this Bible up, but the two-edged sword in their, you know how big this Bible is, the two-edged sword in their hands, that is the two-edged sword that proceeds from the mouth of Jesus Christ. To execute vengeance on the heathen and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. It is indeed through the word of God that even the kings of the earth, their nobles, will be subdued to Christ. To execute upon them the judgment written. You hear that? The judgment written. That is the two-edged sword. This honor have all his saints. We all should be speaking about the Word of God to all kinds of people. Praise ye the Lord. Then in Psalm 150, we have several things for which the Lord is to be praised. First of all, the place he is to be praised in his sanctuary. And so once again, public worship is extolled. It is advertised by the Psalter, and we've seen this in our reading of the Psalter all the way through. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts according to his excellent greatness. Well, all of these phrases are self-explanatory, and yet they call upon us to a hearty meditation. They call us to a hearty meditation on these particulars as we would praise the Lord aright ourselves. Then notice that those praises are regulated. They are commanded in certain ways. So with the sound of the trumpet, the psaltery, and the harp. I noted some scriptures here if you'd like to take those down to take a look at those instruments as they were commanded. 1 Chronicles 15, 16 through 28, 16, 5, and then 25, 1 through 6. And if you want those later, just let me know. The timbrel, the dance. Praise him with the dance. Yes. Yes, there were times in the bringing in of the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem when the saints of God danced. There were such extraordinary times, no doubt. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. And then, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything that hath breath. As we have sung Psalm 149 and move in to Psalm 150, and we recognize that that two-edged sword which comes out of our mouths, even in the singing of the psalm, even in the singing of these psalms, that they are given for the binding of kings and fetters, that they too should be brought to heel, bowing the knee to Christ. And they then, ruling in their kingdoms as they ought. These are the means. This is what we pray for when we pray, Thy kingdom come. And this is what the Psalter calls upon us to remember when it says, Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. All right, well, thus ends our reading of Psalms 148, 149, 150, and also the Psalter itself. Let's stand.